Channel 2 over. Channel 2 over and a continuation of visit with Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Monday at supper time, the 14th of February, 7 to 2. Channel 2 over and a continuation of visit with Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Tuesday at supper time, the 14th of February, 7 to 2.
We seen him yesterday morning.
He talked like he's going to get something from Adams up there in Gainesville.
Uh-huh.
And I think Adams is back. Went along with the rest of them, you know, as far as that high risk.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so glad, because when he was over here, I guess right after Christmas, or maybe during Christmas, he was so worried about those licenses. He knew he had to. He knew he had to come up.
He stood the test that first time, but see what happened? His eyes kind of failed him.
Yeah.
As far as the test is concerned, getting all the signs and things right, he was right.
Yeah.
But his eyes wasn't, he couldn't read the print.
Yeah.
So they told him to go and have his eyes tested. And he did, and they had him get some glasses. Eye specialist fixed him some glasses, and he went back and he got
Suzanne told me that your cow had it taken it back.
Yeah, born dead. But she had it, just like you said, without any trouble at all.
Well, why do you reckon it was there?
I don't know. She's talking about the heifer guy.
I wish I knew. I was busy that day. I ought to have got you all over here and take a look at it. Didn't seem to be anything wrong with it. And all cleaned up.
Did you find it dead?
Yes. And it looked like it had been dead when it came, because it was, didn't look like it had moved. It was wet on one side.
Well, not necessarily been dead when it came. It could have strangled it.
Yes. Yeah, could have.
I've noticed that happened.
He was so big, just a huge calf. Just a huge, beautiful heifer calf. But it was, well, you don't want them to come dead, because the next one might do the same thing. But it was good saying, because you don't want that heifer calf on this little cow, you know. It's just too much calf for her.
But she, just like you said, she didn't have any trouble herself.
No.
You know.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah.
Well, you just can't tell whether they're going to have it or not.
She got bigger and bigger, and it took her forever, you see. It just lingered and lingered. Now, that other one that died, that turned inside out, she was a sister. She was a beautiful calf, heifer, and she was much younger than this. Well, she was springing one day, and I thought, well, sir, I'll start watching her and keep her up. Well, the next day, she already had the calf.
Well, that little old boo yonder
was it just a half a first calf?
It just looks to me like it's going to bust blind.
She wasn't any age This one is older.
And this little old bag, is it getting bigger, Marvin?
About the same.
And I just don't know whether it's going to come this month.
It won't come this month. It should come. By my count, it shouldn't come here before April.
When we got two old cows there in the field.
Yeah.
That is so old. And they got calves. And how in the world can a cow that poor have a calf?
It
well,
just
worries the life
too
out of me.
So old, you can't do nothing with them. By ground feeding, it don't do them any good.
It don't do them any good.
Why in the world didn't you sell them cows?
Well, you said you didn't want to sell old Red and that other one. I don't know why I didn't sell.
Well, old Red, she
wouldn't
bring you
get
25 cents on the market.
And now she's too poor to sell.
And she got a calf.
She got a calf.
Well, she can mend the backside of the field. And I can say Red, and she'll look at me. She knows her name just as good as I know my name. And I can say, come here, Red. And she turns right around and comes to me.
Well, no wonder you won't sell it.
I can't do it.
No, of course you.
Is that right?
I don't care if she dies. But I don't want to carry her off and have her beat up. Yeah. She's too old. She's got a nice calf.
Is that right?
That's right. And she looks so bad. Well, the little old calf, Marvin, feeds it.
Yeah.
He eats and he eats hay and he feeds and he nurses her too. And he's a Charley.
Well, let me tell you, I know that if they get just a little milk, they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But they got to have a little milk.
Yeah, they got to have just a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, Red, I bet her milk is just as weak as the dew on the grass.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Huh?
She wouldn't have much nourishment.
She wouldn't have a whole lot. It's satisfaction. That's what
I
counts.
Bet you she don't give this year a little pitcher full of milk a week.
Why, Miss Mary?
She's too thin.
I don't know. I've seen somebody thin one give a lot of milk.
Have you? That little calf does a lot of work and gets very little for it, you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, we better run.
Oh,
yeah,
they do work at it. They do work at it. I never heard you all talk about this John Woodard.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was anybody like that in the back there in your.
Oh, he meddled with everybody. Everybody's
his business.
His
own color and all colors.
White people.
He didn't care.
Hmm.
He dropped it at night.
Now he.
Oh, he
did.
What?
He dropped you at night. See what she's talking about. Come to your house and after you go to bed.
Yeah.
Stand, listen, see what she's saying.
Oh, really?
Stand in the shadows.
Ooh. That scared me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And listen to what she said after you went to bed.
Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days later, he'd tell you about it. Or tell you enough to know that he'd heard it, heard what you're saying.
Is that right? Is that right? Where do you live?
He lived down just below us.
Yeah. Now this bad time, though, Mr. Guthrie was on his way to court.
That's right, he was a juryman.
He was on the jury.
And he had to be there at a certain time. And he didn't have time to fool around with John. And John, he knowed that John didn't have to have the jug right then. But John had been over to Woodard's and they'd had a scrap about something. And he come right on over there and jumped on Mr. Guthrie. And he cussed him for things that I didn't think he ought to done. And that made Mr. Guthrie take out a warrant for him. I thought it'd kind of cool him down and make a man out of him. But Aunt Phyllis said that all she hated about it, John didn't ever know what he was arrested for because he was always messing with somebody.
Mm.
But they weren't nobody no better a person than Woodard Coleman's mom and daddy.
Yeah.
Aunt Phyllis was a good woman.
And it was just a little old syrup jug.
A little old brown syrup jug that cost it every bit.
Brown and white jugs. You've seen them white with a brown top, them old clay jugs, I call them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see them anyway. And Mr. Guthrie said he couldn't do it then. And
but he would when he got back home. And he told John, he said, John, I'll go get the jug, and you can take it now. And John said, I didn't bring the jug over here, and I'm not going to carry it back, but you better bring my jug home. And he just cussed Mr. Guthrie for everything he could think of.
Oh.
And Mr. Guthrie hadn't done a thing in the world to him. Mr. Guthrie went and got the brown jug, set it up on the fence post so he could get it. And John said, you wait till I go home and get my gun and come back and you carry my jug home. But we didn't have time to fool around with him because Mr. Guthrie had to be at court such and such a time. And
I didn't understand that. He got the jug and set it on the post.
Mr. Guthrie did, but he wouldn't carry it.
Oh, I missed that too.
He wouldn't carry it. He told Mr. Guthrie he didn't carry it over there and he wasn't going to carry it back home.
Well, it wasn't a laughing matter, though, was it?
Was that off?
No.
So you got a warrant for him?
I did.
Yeah.
I took out a warrant because he cussed Mr. Sure. Guthrie for things that he had no business to do, and Jack Meekins was there working. And he said, Mr. Guthrie, I wouldn't take that off of nobody.
Yeah, it was really rich, was it?
It was. And Willie Guthrie said, you sit out there, be there on your horse when I come back. And he said, I'll get you gone. And Willie Guthrie tried to get in the house to get his gun. And I locked the screen door and I said, no, you ain't. You ain't getting in here and you ain't getting no gun. I said, they'll be. And I'll tell you what, if I'd have let Mr. Guthrie got his gun, John wouldn't have done a thing but went home and got his gun just across the road and come back and he killed Willie Guthrie.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have killed him.
Well, I'll get that gun.
Because he went over to Martha Mickens' and shot in her house and her living over there at Mr. Paul's. Had to shoot and scrape over there, and Marvin, did he serve time for that?
I don't
know. It's been so long. Well, that was before I come.
I don't believe he did.
But he would have just as sure killed Willie Guthrie that day, just as sure as I'd let Willie Guthrie went in the house to get the gun.
Was that in your time?
Oh.
Where was you?
He
I wasn't there then.
And Marvin come that weekend, Tower Hill.
Yeah.
And I said, Marvin, and he was working on the canal. And
yeah.
I said, Marvin, why don't you come and live with us?
Oh.
And he's been with us ever since.
Yeah, well, John was killed like the, middle of the week, first or something like that. Maybe on Wednesday, and I come.
Saturday. And I don't know what he come there for, but he come there and I said, Marvin, why don't you quit the canal and come stay with us? And so he did.
I've always
been there ever since.
And that was in City?
Well, it was when that cross state canal was going through down there the first time.
Yeah.
Down south, and I was camping down there. But that was the
And that was how much? 30, how much?
Must have been long, about 33, wasn't it?
Long. You practically had the whole depression right over there, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, it started when in 30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, because 28, 29 was wasn't so bad. It was bad enough.
Bad enough.
Then 30 and Roosevelt went in office, and I don't remember now when. 36, but yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean it was 32 before he went in office?
And Roosevelt went in office, I believe, in 36.
Well, you wasn't the second time then.
Hmm?
I believe his first term was 32, wasn't it?
32, maybe it was.
Hoover was just one term, you know.
Yeah, no,
that's right.
Golly, Bowman, that was too much.
And the first thing he did was that holiday, don't you remember?
Yeah.
That's right.
And that was way back. That was about that time.
Uh-huh.
You were just coming, 32. You were just peeping through.
You know one thing, you know, a lot of people don't like to hear that. But I think that Roosevelt was one of the most wonderfulest men that I ever seen.
He did a lot of wonderful things.
Didn't he, though? He brought this country
well,
out of
the king. Well, he nationalized the banks and this, that, and the other. He made you money secure what little bit you had.
And it sure needed being secure.
Did
you all lose money?
We did. Mr. Guthrie had money, some money down there at McIntosh, and he lost it. And he had some in Hawthorne, and he lost it.
Yeah.
And he had a little bit in Pfeiffer Bank, and he lost it.
Yeah.
And he never got a penny of it back.
You know, Mr. Weaver said he lost right smart at that time, and he had never had any since.
But I'm going to tell you right now, Roosevelt done more for this country than any president that ever has done since I've been here.
Yeah.
And I remember it just as well as if it was yesterday. Mr. Guthrie was butchering beef for Pillins and Smith at McIntosh. And he carried a load of beef down there that morning, and there was Roosevelt's picture on the wall. He said, Mr. Guthrie, he said, there's the man you want to vote for.
Yeah.
He said, and you sure want to vote for him.
Dressing it and hauling it to the market for 8 and 10 cents a page.
No.
And selling it on credit at that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that credit would just kill you. That credit would just kill you. Why, when I first come out here and sold those cares, people come out here with sold cares, they want to buy the cares on credit. Well,
yeah.
I already kept them for a year, you know, without any money. What am I going to do? I'm telling you, that credit gets you.
What'd
you say?
I said,
yes.
I'm going to get you a glass.
Oh.
You want some water, Marvin?
I believe so, but I can use her glass. She can rinse it out and just let it drink.
A little strong liquor.
I know.
Can't hit
the
glass,
Marvin.
Yeah,
he
has one. That's good enough.
Old John Woodard. Oh, darn. Well, that's been a long time since he raised the roof of San Antonio.
Sure has.
A long time.
We can give y'all something other than water.
A long time. Why, when I was growing up, we had niggers like that, except they didn't bother white people.
Well, I don't think I ever heard of it.
But he did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah, he didn't last long either, did he?
He didn't. He was always, he wanted, even after the colored people, but he was with the white people also.
Yeah.
He didn't pick them.
And Mr. Guthrie never bothered anybody.
He didn't. Mr. Guthrie hadn't done no more to him. never done nothing to John Woodard. And he sat out there on his horse and cussed him like he did. And I told him, I said, John, I said, I'm going to have you arrested. Just as soon as I get to town, I'm going to have you arrested. I'm going to have a warrant look out for you.
And he ought to know what would happen.
And good night of living. They wouldn't have done nothing but carried him up there, and maybe he might have paid a $25 fine, and he'd have got out.
That would have been big money them days.
Them days, yeah.
But he, like Aunt Phyllis said, he didn't know what it was about because he was into so much devilment.
Well, I imagine we better come up.
Yeah.
There's another day coming up.
Yeah.
Well, we sure.
Well, you're all so proud now, Marvin, with a new roof and new rolling around on the new tire.
Yeah, but you don't know how proud we are. We're going to have to dig.
Yeah. Fellow says we're going to have to put it back.
Yeah, well, you got your floors all cleaned up. And you...
No. I ain't done a thing to my floors.
Just where it dripped in, leaked in?
Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
But you're really not worried now that you got the roof on.
Well, we ain't had no rain.
Now, so it'll leak.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have a long dry spell.
Well, now tell me the schedule of that. They started it though way back, didn't they?
What's that?
The roof.
No, they just started about a week ago.
Didn't take them long.
Last Saturday was a week, I guess, ago.
They started?
Yes, but the rain kept them, you know.
Well, that's what I know. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
I don't see how in the world them men pulled off their shirts. As cold as it's been and got up on that roof and worked.
Oh, don't tell me.
Pulled off their shirts.
They sure did. Throw the shirt out in the yard and get up there and hit just the wind is. I told them, I said, you're going to die with pneumonia. But they was from the north.
Maine, one from Ohio and three or four from Maine, I think.
You had a whole bunch. A whole bunch of them out there.
Yeah.
Well, when y'all coming over to the pole farm?
I'll tell you, pull my eye. We're going to come see the sights. If I can ever get him up off, if he can't get up and down.
Well, you don't sit back down. I thought we'd gone.
Saturday when I come in, I was so blue and so despondent. And one man was sitting up there over my washing machine and there weren't nary dab of
Friday.
Cover over, yeah, that was Friday. And we come in and the floor was in such a mess, and I told there was roach manure all over everything and oak leaves and smut. And I said, I'm a good woman, well leave and never look back. And I went on over to Miss Bass's and carried my coat for her to cut it off and hem it. I come on back, Marvin had cleaned up.
That man swept that pole. That didn't sweep that pole.
That other man's wife come and got the man and left this man setting up there on the roof. So before we went to Hawthorne, I told Marvin, I said, ask him, would he like to come in and drink a cup of coffee with us? Oh, yeah, he sure would appreciate a cup. And he looked at me and I'd cried, so my eyes were swell. And he said, you know, I wouldn't care if the world would come to an end today.
They went off and left him. And left poor by each piece of sheep. About 3/4
I said, you really wouldn't care? No.
All them
he said, no, I'm ready to go anytime.
Yeah, four of them come
he
out.
He crawled back up there on the roof and we took off.
And
I don't know when they come, God, he knew nothing about it, but when we come back, he was gone.
I don't know how he left him. He was mad. You know, they all went off and left him setting up that.
Now that was on Friday.
Friday.
He wished the world would come setting at the table drinking.
Well, what if it come right now?
Well, you had enough of it.
You have had too, with all them drippings out there. Well, where did they all come from?
What's that?
On your porch?
That's when they took the roof off, you know.
Yeah, the house, they didn't sweep the roof and it was full of leaves.
So they just swept it into your house.
And it just fell down, you know, in the porch and in the kitchen.
Comes through the ceiling?
Yeah.
The porch is not sealed. On the outside porch.
It's not sealed.
For a washing machine, it doesn't have a ceiling.
Oh, out there.
But the door was open, and when it fall on the floor, they blow in the kitchen.
But he come back Sunday, didn't he?
Yeah.
I never will forget that man, the way he looked. I would have given pretty of somebody I blow the horn. I bet he'd have tore up
something. You thought they were.
Tooted the trumpet? How do you remember this?
I bet I was despondent.
You couldn't cry anymore.
No, I couldn't cry. I don't know how. You just looked at me and my eyes were swollen. I cried, you know, I'd worried, you know. I reckon he thought he was telling me something that might scare me up.
He wasn't like the little boy that didn't want to go to heaven, was he? He was ready. You heard that little boy is having a revival at a church. Preaching, doing a lot of preaching. That's a little colored boy. He come along and he's about so, and he decided, well, I'm going in there and get me some of that religion. He went in then to give all the call, and about half of the people went up and shook hands with the preacher. He had them all lined up there against the altar. So he looked back down, he seen that little old colored boy, and he says, thought he saw him about half scared to death. He walked back there to him and says, son, he says, what's the matter? Don't you want to go to heaven? He says, no, sir. No, sir. He says, you mean you don't want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah, when I die, I do. But he says, I thought you were getting a load now.
He thought you were getting a load right now.
That's kind of the way that man was. He was ready for the first load.
What did you say to the man? Whenever...
I didn't know what to say. I just stood up there and looked.
Oh, Lord.
I reckon he thought that I was going to die.
It wouldn't make no difference. No.
He was sitting on the porch and the others at all.
He was sitting up on top of the porch. And the others had all left him. And he didn't know what to do.
Well, no, Jim, what you might have done if you hadn't got him down.
But that tickled me. You know, I cried all day long. And more eyes will swell so he looked. He said he wouldn't care. World's come to an end right now. And that's the thing of my life.
Well, it didn't tickle him.
I said, you mean you want to go? Yeah, I'm ready to go right now.
Well, I don't know, a lot of times when you get mad, like you just soon the others would go.
The trouble was, why nobody left that but him to go.
Yeah, maybe he thought he had to go anyway. And he might as well want to go.
Oh, well, we tired. I know you're tired. Oh, listen, that was...
Well, I'll tell you what, it don't matter which side your bad rib is on, you can't pick up with your left hand or your right.
Oh, that's for sure.
It's the darndest thing, ain't it?
I tell you, you all have done me more good, and God, this is the first big laugh I've had since I want to call you again. I mean, he's been hard to live with.
Yeah, bring him over to the house.
I'd sure like to give him to you. Would you take him?
Yeah, bring him over there. We'll do something when we put him up on the house.
Oh,
y'all
we've called over your house half a dozen times.
We sure have. We really have.
Well,
on the telephone. They called that day about three times.
Now, when was that?
I don't know.
All last week.
Well, yeah. I was home.
Well,
it was around.
Oh, you know how it is.
You know, you could
and,
have been down.
I got to worrying about Shirley. She took all that pneumonia or whatever she had.
And she after she was over, y'all over here.
Yeah.
She was sick.
Well, we'll see you. Well, I'll
all right.
And if y'all need us anytime, it don't matter if it's 12 o'clock at night.
How are you? Well, you just might get a call.
Well, I'd like to take a little ride, too.
Well, let's take a little ride. And we ain't got nothing like you all that ride in. Y'all can buy a good car.
Oh, what do you mean, this guy?
Yeah.
I can get mine out of the garage.
Don't come out here in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even see better than that,
see.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like 10-2 over, around floor 500, and the end of the visit with Marvin and Mrs. Guthrie this Monday at supper time, the 14th of February, 72, Valentine's Day. This remarkable visit. Channel 2 over, around 500, and the end of the visit with Marvin and Mrs. Guthrie this Monday at supper time, the 14th of February, 72. Channel 2 over, around 500, and the end of the visit with Marvin and Mrs. Guthrie this Monday at supper time, the 14th of February, 72.